Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from NPR member stations and
Valvoline, maker of next-gen motor oil. Engine protection with oil made from 50% recycled stock. Learn more at Valvoline.com. And
the Charles Hotel in Harvard Square,
featuring the Corbu Spa and Salon with farm-to-spa table treatments.
Learn more at CorbuSpa.com.
And Goodyear, where designing tires from the moon to the racetrack inspires what goes into tires for everyday driving. Goodyear, more driven. And
Quick Lane Tire and Auto Centers, servicing cars and trucks with factory-trained technicians at locations nationwide. Learn more at QuickLane.com.
Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Entomology Department here at Car Talk Plaza. You have something of interest?
Yes, I do. In the Washington Post, here's what it is. English words should be male or female. In other languages, nouns are always male or female, right? Not in English, though, but they asked their readers, those guys at the Washington Post, like a Swiss Army knife. Is that male or female?
Oh, it's male.
But why? Because even though it appears useful for a wide variety of things, it spends most of its time just opening bottles. Get it?
Yeah.
Get it?
Yeah.
Kidneys. Kidneys, male or female?
I'm going to guess female.
Yeah, because they always go to the bathroom in pairs. How about a tire on a car? Is that a male or a female thing?
Geez, I haven't a clue.
It's male because it goes bald, and it's often overinflated. A shoe.
I'm going to draw a blank on this one, too.
Shoe is male because it's usually unpolished, with its tongue hanging out. How about a hammer?
You'd have to say hammer's masculine.
It is. It's male because it hasn't evolved much over the last 5,000 years, but it's handy to have around. Pretty good, huh?
They're very good. Very good.
It's Washington Post. Is that what they do for a living down there in Washington? That's very good.
Well, it was
good.
Very clever because they got the readers to write those.
Yeah, isn't that good?
Yeah.
That's how we write all our pamphlets.
As long as we get our callers to answer the questions. We'll work on that. If you have a question about your car and you think you know the answer, call us
or at least you have a pretty good idea.
Call us at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Brian Block from Ames, Iowa.
From Ames, Iowa.
Ames, Iowa.
Boy, that Ames is always in the crossword puzzle.
Well, yeah, it's
it's four letters.
Good town in Iowa, I guess.
Yeah. That's what the clue always is. Town in Iowa. And Ames is the only town I know. So, what's going on, Brian?
Well, I've got an 88 Range Rover Classic, and I found that it was not performing correctly and took it in and found out I have low compression on one cylinder.
Oh.
And, of course, you know, being in Ames, Iowa, no one wants to touch it with a 10-foot pole. And so I'm wondering if this is something that I can remedy myself or if it's just like the beginning of the downfall of the rest of the engine.
Well, how low is it?
A 5-gallon can of gasoline. You can remedy this.
Well, define remedy. I mean, get this problem out of your scope.
Yes.
Yeah. Did he give you numbers?
As far as what the compression rate was?
Yeah. Exactly.
He said it was supposed to be somewhere in the 125 to 150 with two revolutions or something, and it
right.
was only in 75.
Oh, really?
But that was the only one, and the other seven were fine.
And how is this manifesting itself?
Well, it seems to be misfiring a bit. When I have it in park, you know, I can rev it up, and it goes real fine and sounds great, but then put it in drive, and it putts and kind of kicks and sputters and won't go over, like, 35, 40 miles an hour.
Really? At all? You can't get it up to over 40 miles an hour?
You can, but it's really pushing it, and the RPMs go up really high. It's like it doesn't want to shift into the next gear.
Yeah. All right. You may need 10 gallons of gas.
No, we don't mean in the tank.
One cylinder with low compression. The other day, I had a reunion with a bunch of college buddies, and I was reminded that one of them, Paul Kotza, came to visit me when I lived in Texas in the 60s.
Oh, yes, with his Pontiac.
And drove his 54 Pontiac down there, which at the time was running on 7 cylinders.
Yeah.
And he made this, 5,000-mile round trip on 7. And he had zero compression in that 8th cylinder. And then...
And he was barreling.
And he was, he was doing 100 miles an hour.
100 miles an hour both ways.
Both ways, exactly. And then... another cylinder succumbs, and this former proud 8-cylinder engine was reduced to running on 6 cylinders, and that's when another classmate of ours, Bob Pellin, drove it to a wedding in Maine, and came back at the end of the weekend with just the license plate. That was all that made it back to Boston. So you can run on 7 cylinders, and what's causing the thing to slip and rev up and not go is your transmission.
Really?
This is a stick shift or an automatic?
It's automatic.
Yeah, your transmission's slipping. I mean, it could be that you're just low on fluid, or it could be that the transmission is cooked. But I would pull the dipstick and verify that the transmission is okay before you spend any money on the engine.
Okay.
So you don't need anything a lot serious. You need a new engine and a new transmission. That's only in this vehicle about $40,000.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, but
But if it were only that one cylinder down from 150 to 75 psi, it would not cause all the trouble you're having.
Okay.
Yeah, what it would do is it would make the thing a polluter, and for that reason, you'd want to fix it.
The last time I had had an issue like this, I thought maybe it was a transmission, and it ended up being there was a clog in the exhaust.
Yeah.
Yeah, I put a new exhaust, new catalytic converters, the whole thing. Oh. So it has to be the transmission.
Why are you so in love with this thing?
I mean,
it's 85 years old. No one will work on it. It's falling apart, and you're somehow determined to keep it going.
Well, why not?
Is there a bet involved here or something?
What do you mean? An 88 Range Rover is a classic.
Yeah. It's...
The guy is trying to revive it. Trying to at least maintain some semblance of pride.
Euthanize it, man. I think it needs two in the hat, as they say in South Boston.
Two in the hat.
It's given me 200,000 great miles since I bought it, but it's one of those things where it's more... I've since bought a minivan to accommodate my actual travel needs.
Yeah, well, I mean, if I were going to decide whether to spend the money on the compression or the transmission, I'd spend it on the transmission. I think it'll have far more returns.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, you may even return home after you...
Including returning home.
But consider two in the hat. See you, Brian. Thanks for your call. Yeah.
Thanks, Brian. Good luck, man.
Oh, he's going to need it. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kathleen in Seattle, Washington.
Hi, Kathleen. With a K, of course.
With a K, and a BU grad, too.
A BU grad.
Really?
That's right. Yep.
In what department?
In Russian language.
No kidding.
Well, you must have been ticked off when the Soviet Union collapsed, huh?
Yeah, no kidding. It created havoc for people like me in geography of the Soviet Union. We don't know what we're geographers of now.
See, that's why I told my kids to study Latin, because you know there's no future in that. And you know it's already a dead language. There are just no doubts of any kind.
Yeah.
So anyway,
you
Kathleen.
You can't bank on all the contingencies. You can't count on much of anything. You got to be flexible. That's why my son majored in philosophy. He can't get a job, and he philosophizes about why.
Exactly. He knows why. So what's going on, Kathleen?
Well, actually, my question relates in part to my husband, who's Russian. And we had a dispute about, we were in an accident up near the Arctic Circle this summer, And we were both okay, but our car was wrecked up. It was a rollover accident.
Ooh.
And I was trying to determine, how do you judge the drivability of a car when it's been in a rollover accident? My husband has a very low threshold, and he thought we could drive it. And I and our insurance company said no way, and the local mechanic said no way.
Wow. How did this accident occur?
We were on the Dempster Highway, which goes...
Dempster.
it's a gravel road that goes up to the Arctic Circle from near the Dawson area. And my husband was driving, and he's not a very good driver. He's only been driving about 5 years because he grew up in Siberia and didn't have a car. And a bunch of mosquitoes got in the car, and he started swatting them. And I told him it would be good if he kept his hands on the wheel.
Yeah.
But he lost control of the car.
Really?
Mm.
So it flew off the road, and it overturned and smashed the back and then turned upright.
Wait, there are things I don't understand here. You're up near the Arctic Circle, and there are mosquitoes?
Yeah, and they are really mean.
Yeah, you know why? There are only two humans up there.
Right.
You and your husband. Mealtime, guys.
Wow. Well, they got us.
Yeah, they did.
So the thing rolls over one time?
I think it must have rolled over twice because we landed upright.
You did. And your husband wants to just get back in it and drive.
Well, we had to get it towed. I mean, we were down about 10 feet below the roadbed.
Yeah.
The tow truck driver was also the local mechanic, and he also ran the lodge where we had the car towed to. And he thought it was totaled, but the engine was still working. The front of the car was intact. And my husband wanted to try to drive it down to Skagway, which is about 500 miles through two mountain passes. And I thought he was crazy.
He's a wacky Russian, isn't he, your husband?
Well, no kidding. you've met my husband.
but I can visualize him. He's a great guy. He's the kind of guy you could have a lot of laughs with.
Well, they have a very high threshold of what constitutes a wrecked vehicle in Russia.
As a matter of fact, this might be the car that they would feature on the lot.
Green pop.
Yeah, rolled over only once. One rollover.
Well, I told my husband, you know, honey, it used to be a wagon and now it's a hatchback. I really can't drive it.
Yeah.
But did
you drive it?
Well, we tried driving it around the parking lot of the lodge, and it still ran, but the wheels all scraped in the wheel well, and all the windows were smashed out and the roof collapsed.
I have to say that as much as I would love to sit around and have coffee with your husband or schnapps or whatever he drinks, I would not want to drive with him. Because even if the windows weren't broken, who knows what happens when it flips over?
Well, that's what the mechanic said, and that's what our insurance company said. Rarely after a rollover accident is a vehicle drivable because the unibody gets wrecked up.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And the fact that the wheels were hitting the fenders and all that means that the
alignment is way off.
Chances are very good that the whole chassis got turned into a parallelogram.
Yeah.
So that
the
tires or the wheels were not at the four corners of a rectangle anymore.
Yeah, it was kind of a trapezoid.
Yeah.
Trapezoid, yeah. And no, it's probably totaled. And yeah, can you drive it? Sure.
But probably not very fast.
Is it safe? Absolutely not, because you never know how that thing is going to handle in an emergency situation, or even how it's going to do something as simple as changing lanes at 50 miles an hour. You may change lanes and find yourself right back in the gully again. You've got to total it. But you had insurance, right?
Yeah. The insurance company paid for it once we got back to Seattle, but, you know, they really weren't able to send an adjuster right away because it was in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, yeah, no, that's true.
They were going to send an adjuster from Fairbanks, but...
Yeah, but wolves ate
them. The local guy said he could do the adjustment for them.
Yeah. It's what's to do? I mean, it's total.
No, they called the local guy, and they said, what do you think, Mike? And he said, are you kidding me? This is a total.
Yeah, absolutely. But I couldn't convince my husband. He says Americans are wasteful.
And he's right. I mean, we are crazy.
Yeah, and we have the advantage.
But he's crazy in another way.
We have the advantage of having things like insurance. In Russia, it's entirely possible that there's no such thing as automobile insurance except for the very wealthy. And it, and even if it is available, it might be exorbitant and furthermore not required.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in Russia, there's always someone in the neighborhood that can repair the car no matter what happens to
yeah.
it.
I mean, it's sort of like what this country was like when I was a lad.
Yeah, in the previous century. Yeah. Oh, no, I mean, the century. Even before that. When Conestoga wagons crossed the open prairie. Yeah.
Well, it must be fun living with this crazy guy.
Yeah, it is very interesting. He's had a little trouble adjusting to the United States.
Where did you meet him?
We met at the zoo in Moscow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's a wildlife biologist.
He is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he does research on animals.
So that, where was he, in a lion cage? When you met him?
Trying to get a urine sample with a Dixie cup.
Oh, boy. Well, next time you're in the Boston area, be sure to give us a call, because I want to meet the guy.
Well, and I'll tell him that we were all right and he was wrong, and that'll give me a lot of satisfaction.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah,
No, don't tell him that. You can tell him anything you want, but I was willing to take a ride with him.
Okay.
I would still be willing to take a ride with them.
Yeah.
My children aren't, so that's good.
Yeah, well, that's good. I don't think your kids should be in the car.
Keep your kids away from them if you can. See you, Kathleen.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Hey, do you remember anything at all about last week's puzzler?
Well, I think I remember that I could relate to it.
Oh, that's because it's similar to what happens whenever we work together. I complete a task, then you come along right behind me.
Ah, and I put the last finishing touches on it.
No, you undo it. And I have to start all over. The puzzler was about a long hallway full of lights that were being turned on and off.
I remember it.
And we'll be back with the answer and more of your car questions in just 1 minute.
So don't touch that dial.
Give me some wheels, put me on the highway, won't look back. Anyway, I'll never be the angel you see in your dreams. Oh, give me some wheels if I can't have wings. You live in a world that suits you well, but it feels like a cage to me. And the pedestal you tried to put me on just slipped out from under my feet. Oh, give me some wheels, put me on the highway, won't look back. Anyway, I'll never be the angel you see in your dreams. Oh, give me some wheels if I can't have wings. Give me some wheels.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from our automotive spa treatment featuring interior mud bath, deep vinyl seat massage, and refreshing sea salt body spray from NPR, NPR member stations, and
Esurance,
providing car insurance shopping tools like real-time comparison quotes and coverage counselors.
Learn more at Esurance.com. And
Lumber Liquidators, offering a variety of sustainably harvested flooring, including pre-finished and stained, at LumberLiquidators.com. And
Valvoline, maker of next-gen motor oil. Engine protection with oil made from 50% recycled stock. Learn more at Valvoline.com. And
Corsus, keeping CarTalk.com up and running 24/7.
Mostly by keeping you from touching.
Corsus, technology with confidence, on the web at Corsus.com.
And even though the Energizer Bunny runs out of juice and keels over whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
I'm Krista Tippett. Next time on Being, unfolding language, unfolding life. Learning to talk, acquiring language, is one of the most remarkable and ordinary things children do. Join me for a playful conversation with a psycholinguist about our distinctive human gift, not merely to be conscious, but to comment on that. That's from APM.
Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock.
Hi, it's us, Click and Clack, the Tappan Brothers.
You know, people develop strong attachments to their cars.
Yeah, and it's very hard to tell them. It's time to move on.
Something my brother's heard from every one of his wives.
Anyway, we have a way to ease the pain a bit. Now you can donate your car, and the net proceeds from its sale will benefit this station.
Interested? We thought so. Here's what to do.
For information on supporting Nashville Public Radio with your vehicle donation, visit our website, WPLN.org.
You're listening to Car Talk here on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio. It's 19 minutes after 9, 40 degrees in Nashville.
Back, you're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And this was from my ceiling light series.
Yeah, this was good.
Yeah, I thought so.
I liked it.
Imagine, if you will, that you have a long, long, long corridor, and in that corridor, attached to the ceiling, are lights, the kind that are operated with a pull cord,
a chain or a string or whatever.
And there are gazillions of them as far as the eye can see. Let's say there are like 20,000 lights or something. They're on the ceiling in a row, and they're all off.
Uh-huh.
So somebody comes along and pulls on each of the chains and turns each one of the lights on. Another person comes along right behind and pulls the chain on every second light, so 2, 4, 6, 8, et cetera, right?
Yeah.
All those lights, of course, get turned off. A third person comes along and pulls the cord on every third light, 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, you got it, right?
Yeah.
Someone comes along and does
every... you lose count when you're up around
92,000? Jeez, I got to go back to the beginning. Hey, what are you pulling? It could be a problem.
Yeah.
Anyway, someone does every fourth, et cetera, turning off some and turning on some, da-da-da-da-da. And so if there are, say, 20,000 lights, someone is going to come skipping along and pull every 20,000th chain, right?
Yeah.
When that happens, some lights will be on and some will be off. And the question was, can you predict which ones will be on? Let's number all the, I'm going to give the answer, right? Let's number all the lights. I'm going to pick one at random. Let's pick a number.
26.
Okay, let's look at light number 26 and figure out if it's going to be on or off.
Yeah.
And to do that, ready for this? All we need to know are the factors of the number 26. Well, what's a factor? A factor is a whole number that will divide evenly into another number, like 26, with nothing left over, no remainder, right?
Yeah.
So the factors of 26 are 1, 26, 13,
and 2.
Right? And here's why that's important, because it tells us that light number 26 is going to get its chain pulled 4 times.
How'd you figure that out?
Well, when every cord gets pulled, it gets turned on, right?
Right.
It never gets touched again until every, what's the next factor? 2, right? When every second thing gets pulled, it gets pulled and turned off.
Right.
When every 13th chain gets pulled, it gets turned back on again.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get touched again until when?
26.
Right? So it gets turned off forever when the 26th thing gets pulled, right?
It gets turned off forever.
Never, right?
Okay.
Cool, right?
It's
pretty obvious then that every bulb position or location which has an even number of factors will eventually get turned off for good. Because an even number of factors means on, off, on, off, on, off. If it has 30 factors.
Yeah.
Okay, it's eventually going to wind
up. It's going to end up off.
And, of course, all the primes get killed, too, like 3, 5, 7, 11, 13, because they have only 2 factors.
Yeah.
So the question is, which lamps remain on? Well, all those represented by a number with an odd number of factors.
Yeah.
And those are, you ready for this? Light bulbs 1, 4, 9, 16, 25,
that's
36, etc., etc.
That's interesting,
all
isn't
these
it?
Numbers are called perfect squares. And they all, and only they, have an odd number of factors. Because one of the factors is the square root of the number in question. Like 9 has 3 factors. 1 and 9 and 3.
Yeah.
So it goes on, off, on.
On.
Neat, eh? Do we have a winner?
Who cares? Yeah, we do have a winner. It's Chuck Yates from Pulaski, Virginia. And for having his answer selected at random... from among all the correct answers that we got, Chuck is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which Chuck can get any of our fine Car Talk CD collections.
I didn't realize we had any fine CD collections. I thought they were all more or less like our show, like lousy.
Well, it's artistic license. Give me a break, will you?
Fine. Fine already. Look, stay tuned for our new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show. But right now, if you have a call, we're here, 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Greg Erbach calling from Teaneck, New Jersey.
Hi, Greg.
Greg.
G-R-E-G.
Yeah.
Got it, from Teaneck.
Teaneck.
Yes.
So what's going on, Greg?
Well, I have a 1991 Ford F-150.
Yep.
And I took it to get the clutch fixed because I used to have an older one, and I did the clutch once, and I never want to do that again.
Yeah,
no,
I don't either.
When the transmission falls in your chest, that'll yeah. dissuade you.
Well, you put it up on a cinder block on two Coke cans or something, you know.
Yeah. I remember the first time I did a clutch in one of those, I had no idea how much that transmission weighed.
Yeah.
And I pulled it out like it was a car, and all of a sudden I was, Did anyone come and help me?
No, we all stood there and laughed for 10 minutes. So what's going on with this thing?
Well, I got it back, and I put the thing in the, well, I drove for a while, and I didn't notice right away, but I would put the thing in the first, and when I would let the clutch up kind of quickly, my shifter would kind of roll to the right, and the harder I would let up my clutch, the thing would just, like, slap over to the right and go thunk. I was like, I don't think that's right.
Yeah.
You know, and in second gear, it's a little less severe, and then as I get into the higher gears, you know, it kind of goes away. So it seems to me on the higher torque, it really grabs it. It seems like the whole transmission is rolling in the case or something.
Yeah.
So the whole the shifter, I believe, on this thing goes right into the transmission.
I think so.
And the reason it's turning over like this is, in fact, that I think the transmission mount, either they forgot to bolt in or they broke it.
Uh-huh.
And so the whole engine and transmission are torquing.
It seems that, you know, the truck drives okay, but, you know, if I do it severe, it does this thing. And I like I said, I don't think it can be good to, like, leave it like that.
No, it's not good, and it's a mistake.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, of course they're going to claim that it was perfectly okay when it left their shop, and whatever
right.
and whatever bolts fell out must have happened on your watch.
Right.
You know, so.
You say that the more you accelerate, the harder you step on the gas pedal, the more it turns?
Well, the harder I let up on the clutch in first gear, when it's under real high torque, it really can whip it.
Yeah.
You're right, and it'll be its worst in the lowest gear with the greatest amount of gas and the quickest clutch release.
Right, exactly.
Right.
And as you go up through the gears,
it gets easier.
It gets less and less pronounced.
Right, you don't even notice it.
Yeah,
you know, by
then
the time you're in third
that's
gear.
What it is.
Yeah, I think they forgot to put the bolts in the transmission mount or they broke it.
Right, so I'll have to call them and give them the old three words the mechanics never like to hear. Ever since you.
Ever since you, right. You got it, man.
That's it. Yep.
Good
that's
luck.
What you have to
well,
do.
Okay, thanks a lot.
It'll be easy.
Good luck.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
They could also have forgotten to bolt the transmission to the engine.
The bolts are probably still on the rack.
They're on the arm of the lift, right? That could have happened. That it's been known to happen.
Yeah, and someone will, when he walks in, someone will say, huh,
that's a little bolt.
That's what those bolts were.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name's Anita, and I live in Edmonds, Washington.
Anita.
Well, actually, everybody calls me Neater.
Neater.
Yeah.
Neater and Edmonds, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Got ya.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, my husband and I have been having this long debate, and it reared its ugly head again last week. We were out running errands on a Saturday.
Debate. You call it a debate. I'm going to use that.
Oh, okay. we were running errands last Saturday, and one of the things I needed to do was gas up my car. So I got out of my car, and I turned off the engine, because by law, I have to do that.
Right.
However, we were listening to Car Talk at the time, and I wanted to hear Car Talk.
Yeah.
So I turned the accessories back on.
Yeah.
And my husband says I can't do that.
Mm.
He says that that's a dangerous thing. He says he hears that if you're not supposed to use a cell phone when you are gassing up your car, then how can having the accessories turned on the car be as safe? And I'm saying, I need the letter of the law because I turned off the engine.
You did turn off the engine, and you did. They say not to use the cell phones. Now, you would think that we would know something about how all this technology works. But I mean, there is the same technology. It's radio waves. And the difference is that your radio in the car is receiving the waves, and the cell phone is sending the waves. And if I had to make a decision about this, I would say that it's perfectly safe to leave the accessories on and listen to the radio. She loved it.
See, Bob passes it off as he's worried about my personal safety, and I think he's just trying to be annoying.
I think he just doesn't like car talk.
There you go.
This is a chance for 5 minutes of peace and quiet.
Turn that noise off.
But, I mean, I have to say, that's my wild guess. I have no knowledge other than what I just gave you about any of this. And I'm trying to think of what could happen in the accessories position.
Well, in the accessories position, you're worried about fire?
Well, why did they tell you to turn the engine off?
Well, the primary reason is so that some knucklehead doesn't put the thing in drive and drive away with the nozzle stuck in the...
That's the primary, which would be a large expense to the gas station.
Yeah, not to mention the fire hazard. I mean, if the nozzle is stuck in your tank and... Let's say that you're gassing the thing up, and your dog, for example, shifts the thing into drive or reverse or whatever. Mm-hmm. You could imagine how calamitous that could be. You know, so that for obvious reasons, they want the thing in gear, you know, park or whatever, or in neutral, and they want the key off. But putting it in the accessory position really just sends a current to the radio. It allows you to run the accessories in the power windows. What possible danger could that be?
Everything else, I mean, for example, if it was purely the flow of current that they're trying to stop, they're not doing that anyway, because if you open the door, the dome light goes on.
That's
if
true.
You open the trunk, the trunk light goes on.
And in
on.
The accessory position, the fuel pump isn't even going to run.
No. So I would guess, and it is a guess, so when your car blows up, don't come running to me, neither.
Well, I have a feeling if my car blows up, I won't be running to much of anybody.
You won't, probably.
And hopefully your heirs will not have heard this show.
Right, but we're with you, and tell your husband to suck it up and listen to the show. Maybe you'll learn something. No one else has, but he might. See you, Nita.
Hey, good question, Nita. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello. This is Ryan from San Diego, California.
Hi,
Ryan. How are you doing?
Well, I have a super rusty 88 Honda Civic, and about 6 years ago, I took her down into Mexico, and my buddy and I were surfing, and we were about probably 60, 70 miles off-road.
While you were down there, did you have the dashboard covered in fur?
No, dirt.
Oh, man, they do a nice job.
Dirt.
Fur grows naturally on my dashboard. I don't have to get it.
They got these guys roaming the streets, and they'll fur any part of the car that you want.
Oh, wow.
The dashboard, the steering wheel, the roof. Yeah, so what
happened? Anyways, while we were down there, we were super far off-road, kind of in the middle of nowhere. And we already had two flat tires, and everything was breaking. And the muffler fell off, and I had to hacksaw off the exhaust pipe. And, you know, we were just kind of surviving. And I looked at the car. We crossed even a couple streams. And I said, you know, the car was kind of dying. And, you know, I told her, look, if you get back to the border, then it's either you or me. One of us will go first, but, you know, I'll stay with you till then. Anyways, some time's passed, and she's gotten even more rusty, and she's run just perfectly since then. I mean, just going into the shop maybe once a year just for something minor.
Also, you think the car became more appreciative after this little...
Oh, there's no doubt. But the problem is that recently a couple things happened which led me to start thinking that maybe we were going to go at the same time.
Oh.
First one is flat tires, so I put on a new wheel, but the tire's bigger than the other tires.
No good.
That's dangerous?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'll fix that. Okay. Second one...
So where'd you get the tire off, like a Buick?
No, it was a spare we had for a number of years for more trips into Mexico, and I just never put it on until the other one went flat.
Oh, yeah, that's no good.
Oh, oops. Okay. The other one, the muffler fell off, so I shoved it back on and tied it up with ropes.
Well, that's good, except ropes will burn.
Yeah, they've held on for about 3 weeks now.
Wire is what's recommended.
That's what we used in Mexico the first time. So, all right, I'll throw that on.
Yeah.
Third thing, whenever I fill the gas tank more than halfway, it smells like gas in the cabin. So should I just not fill it halfway?
Don't fill it halfway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, this sounds like this car is on its last legs.
No way. No. She's going to run forever. It's just, you know, she's got these little cosmetic things.
Well, you know, it happens to people as well. I mean, you don't have the same capabilities when you're an old geezer as you had when you were a young stud. so to speak. And doesn't mean you have to throw it away, right?
No,
right.
It means you have to.
I used to be able to run 10 miles.
Now he can't. Now he can't drive 10 miles.
I can't even see 10 miles.
Falls asleep at the wheel.
Up in the snow up there with the fuzz on your dash.
With the fuzz, yeah. Well, I think right. You have to, when your car gets old, you have to reassess its capabilities.
Sure.
And it's probably made its last trip to the remotest regions of Mexico.
Yeah, she's pretty much just a workhorse now. She lugs around boats and boards and things.
Yeah, so great.
She's a town car now.
Don't forget, this guy lives in San Diego. It's always warm. Car breaks down. Yeah, what do you care? You're going to die from the snow?
Now, if the battery goes dead, you can jumpstart this with a couple of flashlight batteries.
Ah, you push it 5 feet, it'll start.
How about rust? Is rust a problem?
No, for us, not. No, hardly.
Well, I mean, if your car has got a lot of rust, then you got to really worry, actually.
More rust than you can imagine. In fact, the window, they just replaced it, and it took me about 2 weeks to find anyone who was willing to put a new window in.
Well, I hate to tell you. I mean, that's really dangerous. I mean,
you
may not think it's dangerous, but what happens is if the whole thing is really rusting away.
I can put my fist through some of the holes now.
Yeah, that's bad. Because the car now is mostly air.
Right.
And the frame then is mostly air. And the trouble with that is if someone hits you.
Right.
The car will just
disintegrate.
It'll be gone.
So the car is not offering you any protection.
Yeah.
It didn't offer you much to begin with.
I know, I'm like, what do you mean?
Yeah. And it's only a Civic to begin with. And if you now take away what little metal it had, mm-hmm. I would say I would be really careful about this. I would dump it.
Yeah, you should at the very least have someone put it up on the lift if you can find someone courageous enough to do that,
mm-hmm.
and really assess how bad the floor pan and the frame rails are.
Okay.
I mean, cars have been known to split in half.
And then you can wind up with two cars
because of rust.
That'd be pretty funny, though.
But,
you know?
Well, it might not be funny on the freeway.
No, well, just, yeah, well.
Yeah, stay around town with it until you can get it checked out because it could be dangerous.
All right, so new wheel, chicken wire.
Chicken wire.
Et cetera.
And junkyard.
And junkyard, and that all.
Okay.
Good luck.
See
thanks
Ryan.
For calling.
All right, late.
Bye-bye. All right, it's time to take another short break.
Must be time for my memory exercises.
Why are you doing memory exercises?
I can't remember why I started doing.
We'll be back in a minute.
I'm not talking about a cheating little girl gonna take our stand in this Chevy van. Windows open on the rest of the world, holding hands all the way to Dixieland. We've been trying to turn our lives around since we were little kids. It's been wearing us down. Don't turn away now, darling. Let's fire it up and wind it out. Oh, come on, baby, dive south with the one you love. Come on, baby, dive south with the one you love.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from our new downloadable episodes of Car Talk. Just pop your trunk and we'll download a box of 8 tracks and cassettes from NPR, NPR member stations, and
Angie's List, provider of local consumer reviews on contractors and doctors, now has reviews on classic car professionals. Details at angieslist.com. And
Tire Rack, offering more than 500 tire models from 17 manufacturers. Learn more at TireRack.com. And
Valvoline, maker of Next Gen Motor Oil. Engine protection with oil made from 50% recycled stock. Learn more at Valvoline.com. And
Goodyear, where designing tires from the moon to the racetrack inspires what goes into tires for everyday driving. Goodyear, more driven.
And even though Scott Simon's psychiatrist visualizes another wing on his beach house whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
More than 90 academic majors, a dozen pre-professional programs, and a well-rounded liberal arts curriculum give Harding University students a wide range of choices when it comes to choosing a field of study. Students from across the U.S. and more than 50 countries choose to make Harding their home. Experience faith, learning, and living at Harding University. More information is available online at harding.edu.
Hi, it's us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers.
You know, I'm having all kinds of problems trying to trade in my old car.
Oh, dealer's still insisting that it run, huh?
Exactly. If it ran, I wouldn't have to trade it in.
Well, if your old car won't leave the driveway or won't leave it reliably, donated to this station through the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program.
You'll help pay for the programs you love, and you'll pocket a tax deduction.
Pretty good, huh? Here's how to do it.
For information on supporting Nashville Public Radio with your vehicle donation, visit our website, WPLN.org.
Support for Car Talk on WPLN comes from the Bridgestone America's Trust Fund, with a reminder to check tire pressure every month. Underinflated tires increase gas consumption and decrease tire life. Information is available online at tiresafety.com. And support comes from you, the listener. You can stay connected to Nashville Public Radio through our weekly email newsletters and on Facebook and Twitter. Find out more at WPLN.org.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car
Talk. Don't wake me up like that, for God's sake.
You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Collect, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new, I would have to say, mathematical puzzler, although I...
Yeah.
Take a little license here.
Does it have to do with equalities and inequalities?
No, not really.
Okay.
A landscaper returns from work and is sitting at the kitchen table with his kids.
And he says, mathematicians are a strange lot, my dear.
No.
That's a different puzzler. Oh. Sitting with his kids. Okay.
And the kids ask, did you work hard today, Daddy? And he says, I did. I planted a lot of trees. He goes on to say, I planted 5 rows of 4 trees each. Mm. And his little third grader, wanting to show off her newfound skills vis-a-vis the multiplication tables, says, you planted 20 trees, Daddy.
So close. 18, right?
He says, no, I'm sorry, you little twerp. That's wrong. He says, I planted 10 trees. And she says, that's impossible. Hmm. And he said, no, it isn't. He said, it isn't impossible, and I'm going to give you a hint. If you look at one of the papers, one of your test papers that your teacher has returned to you recently, you're going to find the answer on one of those papers. The little girl sits there and thinks for a minute, and she says, I've got it. What did she find in her paper that gave her the answer? And it makes no difference whether it was a math paper or a history test.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's very, very good.
So how did the little kid figure out how to plant 10 trees in 5 rows of 4 each? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of one of those new $20 bills because there's plenty of blank space.
Plenty of room.
Plenty of room. And send that answer to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or, of course, you can do an electronic funds transfer and email your answer on a $20 bill to us from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jane, and I'm calling from Yarmouth, Massachusetts.
Hi, Jane. How are you?
Yarmouth.
Yeah, it's a great place.
You live there all year round, I gather.
All year round.
What do you do all winter?
I work a lot.
Yeah, hopefully this winter will be a little milder than last, huh?
Yeah, oh, yes. We got slammed.
That's all right. Once in a while, it's good for you. What's up, Jane?
Well, I have a 98 Toyota Avalon. It has 87,000 miles on it. And one day I got into it, and it just all of a sudden had this problem where at low speeds, when I was turning corners and stuff, I especially noticed it, the power steering would just, like, go out. It'd be really hard to turn.
Uh-huh.
But then as I went faster, it would kick in and be fine. And so this went on for about a month, and it actually started to get really bad, like, really, really hard to turn. And I thought, oh, I'm
going to... during that time, you didn't think to take it in someplace. And...
Well, no, I was kind of waiting.
Of course,
you know.
Waiting for what? The end of the world, right? Maybe the world will end, and I won't have to deal with this.
She's waiting for the accident to happen.
Yeah.
Well, so, you came close.
Yeah, it was getting really hard. And then it all of a sudden was gone. It just fixed itself. And now it seems to be intermittent.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'm sure one of the things you love about this car is you've never had to spend 5 cents on it.
I love it. It just goes.
Yeah, it's a great car.
Yeah.
It's really a great car.
And I think that one of the things that you neglected to do because you haven't spent 5 cents on it is to have the belts changed.
Oh, yeah. No, I never did that.
I didn't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, why would you?
Right.
The first thing to check is the power steering fluid, but I think that's going to be okay.
Yeah, my husband did check that and said it was
good.
Okay.
It is okay.
And if that were low, you'd hear it. You'd hear a gurgling, groaning noise when you tried to turn the wheel.
Yeah.
Especially if the car was stopped. You'd hear this noise.
But the problem is the belt.
Okay. Yeah, I think the belt is just old and slipping.
Okay.
And it's probably at its worst when you first start the car in the morning. And it may get better as you drive it.
Okay.
Because oftentimes the belts get more pliable, and they tend to shrink, actually, when they heat up.
Okay.
The belt will get a little bit smaller and tighter, so you may just need a new belt.
Oh, well, that's easy. Now, is that something that the dealer has to do?
No.
Or anybody can?
Any high school kid can do it.
Yeah, okay. Which means your husband may want to take a shot at it.
Oh, I don't know about that.
And part of the reason that it got better as you drove...
Yeah.
Is that you really don't need power steering when you're driving on a highway, for example. I don't know if you drove on a highway. But even doing like 30 miles an hour,
mm-hmm.
you don't need power steering, and you don't feel it if you don't have it.
Yeah, you wouldn't notice its absence unless you were stopped and trying to park or negotiate, you know, into a tight spot.
But you need a belt.
Okay.
Yeah, my brother needs a belt, too. If he leaves it on the table, I'll give him one.
You beat me to it. I said, I'm going to give my brother a belt right now.
See you, Jane.
Okay, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mitchell Hammersley from Elkhart, Indiana.
Hi, Mitchell. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Good. Elkhart, Indiana.
Yeah.
That is the conversion van capital of the world,
isn't
it?
It sure is. We're hurting a little right now, but it sure is.
What's going on, man?
I drive a 95 Thunderbird, Ford Thunderbird LX, and when I get up to about 60 miles per hour, 60 to 40 miles per hour, and I try to stop, I get this horrible, violent shaking in my dashboard. It kind of goes like, you know, kind of like this huge shaking sound. It's really violent.
And you want to know what that is?
Yeah, I have no clue.
How long has this been going on?
Oh, man. Well, probably about 6 or 7 months. And I'm a teacher, so I got to wait for the paychecks to come around to fix it. So.
But if you stop at starting from a slower speed,
yeah,
doesn't happen?
No, it's more of like a pulsing stop. It's not so violent.
And you feel it? Do you feel the brake pedal coming back at you when you're going at low speed?
Not so much the brake pedal. It's just the rest of the car, the dashboard and the steering wheel is just shaking.
Yeah, you have warped disc brake rotors.
Oh, okay.
How many? You must have 90,000 miles in this car, right?
It just hit 160,000.
160?
Yeah.
I was close.
Yeah, pretty you close. Were half there.
Almost.
50%.
And over the course of these 160,000 miles, you must have had a few brake jobs done.
Yeah, well, actually, it was my mom's car, and she kind of gave it to me when she paid it off when I was in college.
Oh, okay. That's nice.
So
yeah.
When was the last time the brakes were done? Do you have any idea?
Oh, man. Probably about... 4 years ago, maybe.
So you haven't spent a nickel on this car since you bought it?
Not a dime. Maybe an oil change, you know.
Yeah. Maybe an oil
change. One oil change.
No, I get it changed.
Yeah. No, you got to have someone take a look because you might need a lot of stuff with the brakes. You might need rotors. You might need pads.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And you're going to need
calipers.
You're going to need rotors, and you're probably going to need pads.
Okay.
And you may have warped the disc because one of the calipers is stuck. Tom's right.
Great.
So if a caliper, well, the thing is, if you don't fix it, it's only going to get more and more expensive as time goes by.
Right. Okay.
So you got to bite the bullet, so to speak.
Yeah, totally.
And not to mention the fact that it's dangerous. And the reason it's dangerous is that when the brakes are pulsing like this,
uh-huh.
your stopping distance has grown now. So instead of stopping the car in the distance that it's supposed to stop, you might have increased it by 50% or even more.
Oh, man. I hope my mom's not listening.
I hope she is.
She'll send you a check for the brake job.
Yeah, I guess.
Exactly. But you've got to get it done no matter what it costs because your life is at risk here.
Oh, okay.
All right?
Okay.
Good luck, man.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Amy Johnson, and I live in Keller, Texas. I've got an interesting problem with my Isuzu Rodeo, or actually two Isuzus.
If I drive down a particular street, I lose complete power.
You or the rodeo?
Well, I guess the rodeo.
Okay.
There's a huge weather ball, or a big, it looks like a huge golf ball, that is on the side of the road. It's got a fence around it, and it's on top of this little building, and it's got FAA marking.
Oh, man.
If I drive on the side of the street that that ball is, my car completely dies.
I love it.
And if you just coast, you coast on through, and it'll finally, you know, you have to steer your way off the road, you can finally start it again and keep going.
But you must restart it. It won't start up by itself.
Oh, no. Yeah, you have to restart.
My question exactly. That would have been interesting.
That would have been.
That would have been really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I tell you what, it's not just my car either.
Is there a sign there that says Area 51? where the heck is Keller, Texas?
It's kind of a suburb of Dallas-Fort Worth.
So you started to say your car is not the only car that exhibits this strange phenomenon?
No, because for the first time it happened, it completely died, and I pulled in next to, there's a fire station right next to it. And I pulled into it, and I called my girlfriend. She drives an Isuzu Trooper.
Yes.
She came to get me, and she said, well, why don't you try it again? So mine started, and I started driving away, and I looked in the rearview mirror, and she wasn't behind me.
Oh.
So I called her on her cell phone, and she said, well, mine just died. Hold on, and she started again, and it started, and I had started to turn around and go get her, and she's like, no, go back.
This is a classic case of RFI.
What does that stand for?
I don't know, but radio frequency interference, electromagnetic waves coming out of this thing. Was there a guy standing in front of this saying, Gort, Klaatu, Barada, Nikto?
No.
No.
Did you ever see that movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still?
No.
No, she's too young.
Oh,
she's
Amy, go to the video store and buy it.
Yeah. Buy it.
Well, I mean, I'm curious to know if this happens to other vehicles as well.
Well, I tell you what, when we moved there, we wrote the city just to, you know, find out a few things, and they answered us right back and, you know, told us, you know, that we were welcome and all that good stuff.
Don't drive on this street.
And stay off. What's the name of the street?
It's Keller Smithfield.
Keller Smithfield Street.
All right, here's what I want you to do, Amy. You've got to do an experiment, and you're going to love this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what did the city tell you? Go ahead.
Well, they won't answer my email back on the weather ball question, so we're a little worried about what the heck that thing is.
I mean, you're calling it a weather ball.
Yeah.
God knows what it is. Is there any signage?
When you drive by, you can see that it has some FAA, you know, little...
FAA. And at night, they change the letters to CIA. Here's what you got to do. I know in Texas, when I used to live in Texas, we had a lot of Army surplus stores.
Okay.
And you could go there, for example, and buy yourself a complete camouflage outfit.
I love it.
And
Amy, count me in.
Me too. I'm getting a plane ticket right now. And what you've got to do is late at night, maybe like 3 o'clock in the morning, you've got to put this camouflage outfit on. Don't tell your husband or the kids or anything. And put this thing on, and you've got to paint your face black and the whole bit. And you've got to go on your belly,
yeah,
underneath the barbed wire. And you got to do a little recon on this thing, because this ain't no stinking weather station.
Weather my foot.
But here's what I was going to recommend. Buy yourself a roll of aluminum foil.
Ooh.
Okay? And here's the experiment I think I want you to
wrap it around the distributor.
No, I want you to cover one fender of your car. When you're driving down the street, does it matter which
direction?
Which direction you're going, whether or not the thing conks out?
Well, if I'm on the side that's closest, it always dies. Sometimes if I'm on the other side, the lights flicker.
All right, okay, great.
Lights flicker.
Oh, I love it. Here's what you do. You want to cover the right front fender, that is the passenger side fender, with the aluminum foil.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, and you don't have to tape it on with some masking tape or something, but I'm willing to bet if you do that, the car won't die. Because what you're doing is you're shielding the car's electronics from the radiation coming. Oh, did we mention it was radiation?
Radiation. Good.
Don't get nervous. But we want to shield the delicate electron. We're not worried about you. But we want to shield the delicate electronics from this electromagnetic radiation. And I bet you if you do this thing with the tinfoil, you'll be able to drive through without a problem.
You weren't planning to have kids, were you?
Well, she loves to go down that road.
Oh, you got kids already. Well, good.
Yeah, don't take your kids.
Don't let the kids get on the road.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, it would be nice if you did this experiment.
So every Monday when I drive down that road, I should decorate my car.
Well, at least once, and find out if, in fact, our theory works. Because if it does work, it's going to tell you that you need to have your computer shielded against electromagnetic interference, which is what's coming out of this spaceship.
And if it says FAA, that would make sense.
Is it hurting the computer in the car every time it happens?
It may.
Hmm. Well, I see other people driving down it, so I'm just wondering if I need to get a new car.
Well, I mean, a new car would obviously solve it, but it wouldn't satisfy the scientific mind.
Well, I will try that. That'll be a fun little science experiment.
Send us a picture.
Well, I mean, how old is your kid?
She's 9.
Oh, she's gonna love it.
Oh, a science experiment?
Yeah.
This is it. Start writing it up now. She can take pictures of the truck with the aluminum foil on it. She's got her science project all finished.
There you go. She'll love it.
Yeah, she's guaranteed to make it to 10th grade.
That's
yeah.
Great.
See you later.
And all right, to K-Pax.
Good luck, Amy.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Oh,
boy.
Wow.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Joe, those hours go by fast,
they
don't
certainly
they?
Certainly do.
Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher. There she goes, Fenolosa. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Daly Perotti, and our technical spiritual menu advisor, just back from the Epcot Lobster Pot, Sauerbrot, Bergamot, Kumquat, and Panacot hit the spot, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our anger management counselor is Tara Newman. No, never mind. Our political consultant is Mark Iavelli. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz, who are the proud parents of a teenage daughter, Sasha Payne Diaz, and an adopted son from Sweden, Bjorn A. Payne Diaz, and a brother in the military, Major Payne Diaz, and a 2-year-old, Ariel Payne Diaz, a dog, Toto Payne Diaz, and a distant cousin in Mexico City, Jaime Royal Payne Diaz, and a recently discovered uncle from Warsaw, Zbigniew Payne Diaz. And, of course, the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the bow-tied pigeons in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and Don't Drive Like My Brother.
And, by the way,
yes,
Don't Drive Like My Brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You can get a podcast of the show, which is number 1145, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, you can help each other with car questions.
Yeah, there are some great discussion forums at cartalk.com, where mechanics, far more knowledgeable than us, lurk. And if you have a real car question and post it there, you might even get a right answer. Oh, my goodness.
That's more than we can offer you.
Much more. Make use of the Car Talk community forums. They're busy all the time over at cartalk.com. Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from NPR member stations and
Quick Lane Tire and Auto Centers, providing service for cars and trucks without an appointment, including evenings and weekends. Details at quicklane.com.
And Esurance, providing car insurance shopping tools like real-time comparison quotes and coverage counselors. Learn more at esurance.com. And
Valvoline, maker of next-gen motor oil. Engine protection with oil made from 50% recycled stock. Learn more at valvoline.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the NPR Fire Brigade runs a drill and chops down the studio door whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
And this is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule for all of our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. Support for our programming today comes from WPLN listener members and from Catrivon and Bailey Public Relations, aligning interests and building relationships to create success for local, regional, and national clients, online at kvbpr.com. And by Austin Peay Center for Excellence in Creative Arts, presenting The Urban Landscape, curated by Warren Green, November 7th through November 23rd in Trehearne Gallery. Details at apsu.edu/creative arts. And by St. Bernard Academy, celebrating 145 years of education in Nashville, hosting a fall open house for prospective parents on Thursday, November 10th from 9 a.m. until noon. Admissions information available online at stbernard.org. The time is 10 o'clock. It's